I couldn't think of any good, like, theme type of music to go with our next topic. I couldn't figure out.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't figure out any kind of, like, shows or things about transportation or...
Road songs?
Yeah, well, I guess so, but it's not so much cars. We're talking about, like, public transportation, you know.
Bus songs.
What TV shows are about buses or, you know, like that.
I thought the Honeymooners.
Well, that's when I was going to look for that one, you know.
Yeah, that's a bit of a stretch, but...
Well, yeah, we never saw him on the bus for the most part. We just saw him living his life. We can use that for Public Works, too, because we got a sewer guy in that show,
sure,
too, as well, with that. But joining us this morning, we have the newest commissioner of Lorain County, Matt Lundy, joins us. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. How about Willie Nelson on the road again?
Well, that could work, too. I thought about taxi, but that's sort of a very specific type of a public transportation. But we're here to talk a little bit about a public transportation plan, a forum that is going on. It'll be coming up on Wednesday, February 4th at the Lorain County Community College's Spitzer Center. Tell us a little bit about what's behind all this.
There's a lot of voices throughout the county that realize the economic benefit of having public transit in a county. We're one of the largest counties in the state without a very thorough transit system. And the thinking was that there's so many advocates out there that are working in different communities wanting to improve public transit so that we can get people to work and get them to the doctor's appointments or to shopping areas. So the thinking was, let's try to bring everybody together under one tent at one time. And that's why we decided to do the Transportation Summit at the Community College, as you said, on February 4th. We've been able to partner with the Public Service Institute at the college, which is always great to be in partnership with them. The League of Women Voters, they've been very passionate about this issue and getting people to work through transit, and the county commissioners as well, too. So a nice partnership. We're going to get everybody together for 2 hours on that day and talk through how some other counties and areas are making things work, what we need to look at to try to make it work. And then we plan on making this an ongoing discussion, whether it ends up being monthly or every 2 months. But time is a wasting, and people need to get to work, need to get to their doctor's appointments, and we need to come up with a strategy to make it happen.
Are you looking for a specific area to target, mm-hmm, or would it be truly countywide?
Yeah. Well, without question, you want to make sure that you have routes that can support themselves. So certainly I think the thinking is that you start small and you build big. More than likely the areas where you have the greatest concentration of individuals living, which would end up being probably Lorain, Elyria, Oberlin. Then you have a different component because you actually have the eastern part of the suburb where we do have a lot of individuals who actually travel then into Cleveland to go to work. So there's a transit component there we'd like to try to figure out, even if it's just connecting people in the eastern suburbs to their transit ride, which I believe they can now get in Westlake. So there's different factors here, but the primary focus is to start small, build bigger, but we need to get started.
Over the years, the Lorain County Transit had run buses previously, certainly from Lorain to Elyria, mm-hmm, I believe, Oberlin to Elyria. Mm-hmm. And there always seemed to be a problem in making it work financially. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it would be different now?
Well, I think that first off, what's contributed to the problem, if you look at the research, the demand is there. The League of Women Voters did a pretty extensive study along with Oberlin College, along with NOWACA. And basically, the research that came back said 52% of the individuals said that if you had a viable transit system, we would actually use it. Now, the problem that we've run into is there's constantly been a reduction in funding that has come in for transit. And as that funding has been reduced, especially throughout the state level, the services have been cut back. And that's been the driving factor. So it's kind of odd because we're in a situation where if we had the money to invest, the indication is that the demand would be there. But it seemed like we were doing very well in the past. In fact, ridership, the old model was 14 routes that we had before the cuts were taking place. And annual ridership was pushing up near 800,000 riders. Now we've been reduced to four routes, and we're looking at about 50,000 riders.
So mostly what we're talking about is bus transportation to within the county or connected to other areas.
Well, there's also demand services. Okay. And demand services means that you call in advance and you indicate that, you know, I have a doctor's appointment, a certain place that I need to be. And then you can be picked up and then taken there. And I think what's important to point out, and a lot of folks might find this interesting, I know I found this interesting as well, too, is that 95% of the dial-a-rides are actually for individuals who need to go for dialysis. So 95% of those on the demand, I mean, they pre-schedule their dialysis appointments, and 95% of those demand rides take place. Now, you also find demand ride would be most prevalent in rural areas because, obviously, they're a little further out. When the system was functioning at a higher rate, there were routes that were being run up along 58. So, you know, I think they were the extreme southern part of the county comes straight up 58 right there into Amherst and Lorain. But, you know, the rural areas, obviously, anybody can make the argument that it's hard to service a rural area, which is a valid argument.
Everything comes with a cost. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that. And as you just mentioned, a lot of the state money has dried up. It's gone away. Mm-hmm. For Lorain County to expand what we have now, it would appear Lorain County would need more money to do so.
Sure.
In recent years, voters have twice said no to new money for Lorain County Transit. Mm-hmm. Do you think we'll see a transit levy again this year?
Yeah, right now we have not had any serious discussion about doing that this year. I think what we're trying to do is lay the groundwork and get a feeling from the community as to what they might possibly support. And that's why these discussions are beginning. In the past, we've tried sales tax, we've tried property taxes. Those have not been successful. But I think what's important for individuals to realize is that we have an aging population here in Lorain County. And there's some other statistics to take a look at here. But with about 15% of our population here in Lorain County is actually 65 or older, we have about 16% of our individuals, 14% rather, with disabilities. You know, those are individuals that need to be serviced. But we also have the important statistic is that 10% of our residents do not own a car. So, you know, for those of us who are able to get up in the morning and are truly blessed to be able to have transportation and afford transportation, we don't think twice about it. But for 10% of the residents that wake up every morning, they're trying to figure out, you know, is my brother going to drive me to work, mom, grandma, whatever it may be. Because they, quite frankly, can't get there. So the whole thinking is that if you're one of those critics out there who says, well, people just don't want to work, if you're one of those critics, we need you to help us so that we can actually get people to work. And the way of doing that is to have a viable transit system. And so we can get folks to work, but we can get them to the community college as well, too. We can get them to their hospital appointments, their dialysis appointments, those types of things. And you know, the more people are working, the more they can contribute back to the economy.
And those people also can use that for shopping, too, to
reach
all the different communities that they
shop all your advertisers here on WEOL.
Lorain County Commissioner Matt Lundy is our guest today. And earlier, Matt, Bruce and I were talking. You've been in office now for a month. Mm-hmm. Do you know where everything is now over there? Do you know where the secret closets are?
Right, yeah. No, it's been enjoyable. I've got to tell you, we have a very professional staff over there at the commissioner's office and the various administrators, just great people to work with. They've done a great job of making me feel comfortable sitting down with me, helping to give me an education. And after spending 8 years in the legislature, there's a lot to learn here at the local level. However, I do feel that the experience that I brought to the table from working with the city of Elyria as an assistant safety service director certainly helped out. But still, each branch is a little different. But it's been a nice transitioning. A lot of folks don't know I ran for the office 20 years ago, so it took 20 years to get here. Very thrilled to be here. Love this county, and we're going to work on a lot of challenging projects, but I think we can certainly keep the county moving forward.
One of your first votes came recently, and this does deal with transportation as well, with the Transportation Center in Elyria. You and your colleagues endorsed an engineering study to see if that could be more of a transportation center.
Right.
Your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think that here in the city of Elyria, we have a unique opportunity. You know, we actually have a Amtrak coming through here, and my understanding is in just the past couple of years, I think ridership and use of Amtrak has gone up by 92%. You know, we unfortunately had that fire recently, you know, at the Amtrak facility there. So this is something that would enhance that, but this is just a part of the component. The latest plan is about a $9 million plan. We're going to have to come up with probably $500,000 to make that $9 million plan work. But that transportation center is something that I hope that we can put on course to be used as a true transportation center, one that eventually will be a hub, a distribution area, if you will, so that buses are coming in. We distribute buses from out of there and maybe work out a plan eventually to get people over to the airport. I really believe if we have a viable facility that more people probably will want to try Amtrak and that they will come if we build it and finish it. But so far there's been about $10 million invested, and we certainly want to make sure that we maximize what that investment has been.
And I'm assuming then you would disagree with the editorial in the Chronicle-Telegram a couple days mm-hmm. after your vote. Mm-hmm. One line said $9 million on top of $5 million mm-hmm. would be an extraordinary investment with virtually no chance of a significant payoff. Mm-hmm. Do you disagree with that?
Yeah, I don't concur from the standpoint of I really believe that the demand will be there. We're seeing the trend that the demand is there. So we've, as I said, it's about 92% growth, I think, in ridership with Amtrak out of Elyria. And I think that more individuals will actually take advantage of it if they feel like they can come into a nice facility and leave from there. But as I said, Amtrak's not the only component. The other component is to bring in transit as well to, whether it's cabs, whether it's buses, to actually make this a viable transit hub. And, you know, all the research shows that certainly more and more individuals want to use public transit. The millennials definitely want to use public transit. In fact, my understanding is there's been a significant drop-off. Ages 20 to 24, about 92% of those individuals used to hold driver's licenses. Now, 80% of those 20 to 24 have a driver's license, a 12% drop-off. And the story that was done in the Morning Journal a couple weeks ago where I cited my own nephew who's told me, when I graduate from Ohio State, I want to work somewhere where I can actually get on a bus or walk or take my bike to work. Not really interested in owning a car.
Do you think it's more of a generational thing?
Yeah, you know, I think that it is. I think, obviously, they're more environmentally sensitive, but at the same time, I think they realize the value of public transit. And, you know, an interesting component here is that I've had a chance to see transit through my own personal lens of when I was a child growing up in Pittsburgh. And I know it's never popular to say you grew up in Pittsburgh, but nonetheless.
You escaped.
I escaped Pittsburgh. Okay. But growing up as a child there, my father drove, but my mother didn't drive. And we only had one car in the family. So what would take place is whenever Dad was away from home, we had to walk down the street, just like I walked over the radio station today from the commissioner's office, walk down the street, grab the bus or the streetcar, which was a really interesting experience in those days. And then we would take the bus as far as we could go. And then sometimes you got off the bus and you had to walk up one of those nasty hills in the wintertime, both ways, to get to where you were going. So you had to walk and you had to take public transit a little ways. And so I saw firsthand how public transit worked. And there were members of my family in Pennsylvania who literally never owned a car, never bought a car because they always used public transit. So it is workable. But yeah, you have to be willing to walk and you have to be willing to ride. But that's where the demand service comes in too for those with disabilities who literally, you know, couldn't drive even if they had a car and can't walk to their destination.
We're talking today with Lorain County Commissioner Matt Lundy, the newest commissioner, taking office just about a month ago. Matt, a couple moments ago, you mentioned your time in the administration for the city of Elyria. Mm-hmm. You were just elected. There is another election coming up. You were part of the Bill Grace administration. Mm-hmm. He's taken out petitions to run for mayor.
Right.
The city of Elyria has an incumbent Democrat as mayor, as a commissioner. Where are you going to weigh in on this? Are you going to weigh in on this,
well,
or should you weigh in on this?
Yeah, well, first off, you know, let me say that I think the current mayor is doing a great job. She's very passionate about running the city. I think she's been doing a great and thorough job. We always said about Bill that you can't find a bigger cheerleader than Bill Graves for the city of Elyria. No question about that. And, you know, we always said when everybody else in town had given up hope, Bill would still be pushing forward. Very passionate about the city. I think he served the city and certainly served the city well during those 12 years. I do think the current mayor is doing a good job, but if you're looking for an official endorsement today, there won't be one coming.
What other things are facing the commissioners and the county in 2015 that you see going on right now?
Well, you know, some of the things we talked about during the campaign is that flooding, obviously, is a big issue. We saw the front page of the Chronicle today, the North Ridgeville Council talking about how best to manage flooding. And, you know, the thing that we have to realize that that's just not a North Ridgeville problem. It's not just a Lorain problem, Avon Lake, any of those more northern communities, if you will. You know, the water in the Lake Erie watershed all has to go north. Starts from the south, all comes our way, has to go through our respective communities. And that's why it's really it's a regional issue. It's not just a township issue. We have a stormwater advisory committee that met just recently and trying to figure out how to, you know, clear ditches and where we may need retention areas to help reduce flooding and the flow. What happens in, you know, in the flooding strategy is anytime that, or addressing the flooding through a strategy, is that once you clear up one area, you increase the flow. So you may alleviate your problem, but then you create a problem somewhere else along the way. And I've been telling people about the book Rising Tide, which talks about how the Mississippi River was flooding in the 20s and how all these powerful business people and politicians would come together and try to figure out how they could work out a plan so their community wouldn't flood, but they didn't care if, you know, Craig's house was flooding. And so what we're doing is we're trying to get everybody to the table, and you know, eventually we're going to have to look at this through the lens of being a regional issue. So flooding is certainly, you know, one issue. During the course of the campaign, I had talked about wanting to develop a lakefront strategy as to how we want to develop the lakefront. There are areas there and potential there, I think, for increasing restaurants, retail, things of that nature. So the plan is to try to bring everybody together, also work closely with probably Marcy Kaptur's office, since she primarily manages that lakefront area from Congress, and work with her because there are federal grants that are out there that are available for us to look at putting together a lakefront plan. You know, we're doing a lot of interesting things, you know, obviously in Lorain with the lakefront. We need to look at how we can improve upon what's taking place over there. A passionate mayor over there in Chase Rittenour, who I will tell you quite candidly, I went door to door with him during the campaign. And if you want to talk about elections, I don't think anybody in the world stands a chance of beating Chase Rittenour. Very passionate about the city and the reaction, especially from seniors. It was interesting. They would often say, you know, we thought you were too young to be a mayor, and boy, did you prove us wrong. Now we're worried about you leaving because you've done such a great job already. So he's doing a fabulous job. But a lakefront strategy. Flooding, you know, jobs are always very critical and very important.
When you talk about the lakefront, most of the property in Avon Lake, mm-hmm. Sheffield Lake, is mm-hmm. privately owned. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, of course, on mm-hmm. the eastern end of Lorain, it is sure. as well. Mm-hmm. When you talk about a lakefront strategy, what are you looking at mm-hmm. then? Because mm-hmm. those are privately owned properties.
Yeah, no, we're certainly not looking at taking anybody's property away, and we're certainly not looking at putting industry on the lakefront. You know, there are some areas, for those who know Avon Lake well, you know, behind Kowalski Ford, there's an interesting area back there that probably has some development potential. A lot of folks are certainly concerned about the future of NRG. We have a big power plant sitting over there, and we don't know what the future holds for that right now. So, you know, there's some interest in trying to figure out what some opportunities might be around that. We're talking recreation as well, too, obviously, not just retail and restaurant. And I know that had the mayor of Sheffield Lake tell me it's not uncommon for him to get phone calls from people saying, hey, I'd like to put a restaurant on the lakefront. You know, where are some possible areas that we could work with? And then Lorain, obviously, I think there's a lot more, you know, potential there probably to work with that area. But we're not looking at displacing any homeowners. We're not looking at putting smokestacks up on the lakefront. Just trying to figure out how best we can utilize it, because you know, we're one of the few counties in the state with lakefront property. We might as well figure out the best way to utilize it so we can get people into the area, take advantage of the lakefront, hopefully stop and see a Crushers game, stay in our hotels, eat in our restaurants, and spend some money here.
One other item, Bruce and I mentioned this earlier before you stopped up. When we were talking about transportation, we kind of half-heartedly joked about planes, trains, and automobiles.
Oh, what
about
one of my favorite movies, by the way.
Let's talk about the planes.
Those aren't pillows.
The planes part, you know, the Lorain County Regional Airport, you know, ever since I've been here, and that's been quite a while now, there has always been sort of this perspective, it could be more, it could be something different, another level maybe. Where do you see it?
Wow, I really, you know, that's another area where I'm going to have to get a little bit of an education as the new commissioner. I certainly think that, you know, anytime you have an airport in your county, you're really quite blessed to have that. And I think a lot of counties are always challenged by how to best utilize that. You know, that airport obviously is great for, you know, I know, you know, Ford Motor Company's had different parts flown in, and other businesses around here, they have a heavy piece of machinery go down and they have to get something in right away, so they've been able to utilize it that way. I know there are private business owners that told me during the election process they wanted to sit down and have some conversations on how they think it could be improved, and I certainly am looking forward to having those conversations. And it's utilized a lot for Oberlin College, you know, where a lot of parents may fly in to visit with their children. And so, you know, there are opportunities there, just trying to figure out how best to utilize it.
Well, welcome to Lorain County as the commissioner. You can see how diverse we are, as you already know, with everything that goes on from the lakefront to an airport to a rural community to industry. So
it's a great area.
You know, challenges.
Good quality of life. We've got great schools and, you know, very affordable living here. And, you know, we're close to everything.
That's great. Matt, thanks for stopping in this morning.
Appreciate
it. Commissioner Matt Lundy joining us this morning.